The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Nigel Pocklington, CEO of Good Energy. Ticker there is G-O-O-D, or Good. Thank you for joining me, Nigel.
It's a pleasure. Good to be here.
Yeah, I've been watching your company for a while. Very interesting space you're in. But I think what you've done in the last 12 months has increased my interest in you. And you've explained that. And listen, you've released your last 12 months reports recently. And you say you're executing your strategy by transitioning the business to a green energy service model. So before we discuss that and where you hope to head, if you could, for people not familiar or have never heard of you, Nigel, Good Energy, could you explain the business model, please?
Sure. Good Energy is one of the original challenger brands in UK electricity supply. So we've been around about 20 years and listed for 12 of them. And I call us a challenger brand because our challenge, if you like, to the market is that we supply guaranteed 100% renewable electricity and a green gas for those domestic customers who want it as well. And we are quite unique in the marketplace in that even people who brand their tariffs as green are actually just usually backing it with certificates, whereas we can genuinely show that buying electricity from us goes directly to renewable generators. So we are a big player in terms of the green market for energy. Our biggest business in terms of market share is that we are the number two in the market for services to people who generate their own electricity. So we're a big administrator of what's called the feed-in tariff, which was a scheme aimed at people who had solar on their rooftops or small solar installations as businesses. And more lately, we have been the biggest investor in ZapMap, which is by far the UK's leading application for electric vehicle drivers, and it helps them plan and pay for their charging wherever they are in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it around about 1,700 independent suppliers, is that right?
That's right. So we source our electricity from independent generators under what are called PPAs, power purchasing agreements. Yeah. And they are usually 1 year sort of locked prices for generation. And, you know, a standard energy supplier will be buying it from the general marketplace and buying the national energy mix. We tend to work with smaller suppliers who are therefore guaranteeing the sort of 100% renewable nature of it. And we've obviously over the years developed quite a lot of skills in what you need to do to properly forecast and balance your energy buying when you're choosing deliberately to buy from what is quite an intermittent source of energy sometimes.
Yeah, well, I'm just reading a broken note and saying, you say you've got 277,000 customers, proven profitability over two decades, second largest feed-in tariff operator in the UK, and as they said, they believe the highest profitability customer in the industry. So that's quite impressive. So if you could, take us through some of the highlights from your financial results, Nigel.
Yes, well, we briefly disclosed, although I don't call it a highlight, that our revenue grew 70% last year. You know, I don't regard that as anything to do with what we were doing. Actually, we sold slightly less electricity and gas last year, but that does give you a sense, obviously, for the extraordinary nature of the price increases in the wholesale market. I think what was particularly important for us is that we swung back quite strongly into profit last year. So we reported a pre-tax profit of just under £9 million, and you know, within that, our supply business was also operating profitably again, having been loss-making in 2021 because of the initial very high impact of the Ukraine war caused energy crisis. So a return to profitability was one big part of the story. The strength of our balance sheet, I suppose, is the other big area we drew attention to. We had cash and cash equivalents at the end of the year of £24.5 million. So we are substantially debt-free, certainly on a net debt basis. We have sold our generating assets during the year, which both realised extra cash for us, but also took away the remaining long-term debt on the balance sheet. So, you know, we are well-positioned, I think, to both withstand any further energy shocks, but also invest for our future.
Yeah, and just putting this in perspective, like you said, 24 million of cash, 24 and a half million. You've got a market cap of 36 million. Like I say, you are profitable, growing. And also, isn't it combined with the investment in Zap and the cash? That pretty much makes up your market cap, isn't it?
It does. I mean, this is obviously something that I think a lot of AIM or small cap chief executives would occasionally bemoan. You know, it's difficult to get attention and a lot of liquidity. But there is, I think we said very clearly, and the board believes the company is undervalued as part of our results presentation. You've summarised the arguments there. We finished the year with £25 million of cash. Our stake in ZapMap, which was had a Series A fundraise during the year and therefore has a clear value, is worth another 13. At the time, it's moved up slightly, that pretty much gets you to our market capitalization, and you're then ignoring what, as you refer to, as a profitable energy supply business, a very good annuity stream from our feed-in tariff administration business, and the future growth we see in energy services. So we do think there is a lot to substantiate an argument that we are good value because we're undervalued.
Yeah. Okay. And if you could just give us a top line of, you know, operational achievements, and we'll dig into that as well afterwards. But just top line that, if you could.
Yeah. I mean, I think three key milestones during the year. The first was the sale of our generating assets. So Good Energy's roots originally actually was in almost crowdsourcing funds to raise to build renewable projects on land in the UK. A great thing to do 15 years ago, but now there are obviously billions of pounds being spent on renewable generation, and really we can't make much of a dent in that. It actually only supplied about 15% of the electricity we supply our customers with. So we sold those in January in what we thought was a very good deal, in that it both took out our long-term debt but also gave us about just over £20 million of additional investment capital. Some of that investment then went into ZapMap's Series A fundraise. So in the summer, we announced that ZapMap was raising a round of money from us and from FleetCore, who are US-listed, very major player in the world of fleet management and fuel cards. And that valued that business at £26 million. And then just towards the end of the year, we announced an energy services acquisition. So we had bought the heat pump installation business of Igloo Energy called Igloo Works, which we are funding for growth. So three kind of quite transforming deals alongside being able to operate profitably in what has been the toughest energy market in the UK, I guess, since the 1970s, and one which has seen 60% of our sector fail at various points in the last 18 months. And we've managed to turn a small profit from that part of the business.
Yeah. So ZapMap, I mean, I downloaded the app to check it out. But explain it and explain the business model there, and where are you in its development? And, you know, I mean, is it generating money at the moment, or obviously loss-making? But what's the path for that?
Yeah, I mean, it's still a relatively early stage investment. What we've said overall in terms of Good Energy's purpose and mission is that we want to help 1 million homes and businesses cut carbon and cut costs from their homes and their transport. And so this obviously deals with the transport side. What it does in a nutshell really is it's aiming to be the cure for range anxiety. So one of the criticisms of electric vehicle ownership is, you know, what if I'm going to, if I want to drive a long distance, am I going to run out of charge and just get stuck? So it takes all of the data on the publicly available charge points, when there are about 40 public charge point operators, and it gives the driver a clear sense, not just for where they are, but, you know, are they working? Are they free right now? What sort of payment method do you need? What sort of lead do you need? Is there anything else you need to know about the charge point? And it will plot routes for you. You can use it in your car as a sort of sat nav equivalent, and it will enable you to pay for that charge without having to fumble around in your pocket for the various cards and passwords or what have you that each of the networks has. So it makes owning and driving an electric vehicle on the public roads and the public charging networks much easier. Yeah. It is an early stage business, so it had revenues of just over £1 million last year, which was the plan we wanted to try and hit. But it will be loss making for a couple of years yet, I think, because we're sort of investing for growth. But what was important for us is that it's certainly now a real business. It has a subscription proposition. It charges for the people, it charges charge point operators a small percentage when people pay for their charge through it. And it has quite an interesting business of actually selling data back to the automotive industry, whether it's the best set of data on how people actually use and charge electric vehicles in the UK, because it covers about 80% of the UK's electric vehicle owners. So everybody from the government to charge point operating networks buys data back from ZapMap on what people are doing.
Yeah, wow. And I see you've reached over 1 million downloads of that.
Yes, that's right. It's 1 million downloads. It's probably the number I tend to focus on is the number of registered users, which is well over 500,000. And the interesting thing for me, and my background, I should say, is not actually from the energy business. I came from the world of online platforms. I spent a long time working for Money Supermarket and before that Expedia, is that it sustains this market penetration of about sort of 75, even 80% of all battery electric vehicles on the UK's roads, while spending very little to no money on marketing whatsoever. And it remains constant. And electric vehicles are a very fast growing category, always the fastest growing category of cars in the UK for the last couple of years. So that means that its user base grows very quickly, and it's more than doubled during the course of the last year.
Interesting. I just bought some shares in Money Supermarket about a few months back. And explain, if you could, you talk about your strategy to transition to a leading in a green energy services company. So what's the rationale behind this then?
Yeah, I mean, Good Energy has been quite a mission-driven business. That was our founder's intention, to really sort of make a difference in terms of energy generation and climate change. And we think our best way of achieving that mission is actually to support homes and often small businesses in the adoption of green technologies, as opposed to actually supplying them or generating the power as our main business. And I say that for two reasons. One is that the whole world of energy supply has got a lot more capital intensive over the last couple of years because of the price of energy. And secondly, because there are extraordinary sort of growth expectations for everything from electric vehicles to solar panel installation through to heat pump installation. And we're well positioned to benefit from that growth, partly actually because we are a trusted brand already amongst the sort of green-minded energy consumers of the UK.
Yeah, excellent stuff. And to take us through the, you acquired a company called Igloo Works, and they're into sort of heat pumps and solar. Explain that if you could, Nigel.
Yes, so Igloo itself was another energy supplier that just didn't quite have the funding to navigate the worst part of the energy crisis, but they had begun an installation business where they were intending to take the data they got from their supply business and then help people understand what sort of equipment they should install. And they are very strong in the world of using data to sort of automate the process of surveying a house, establishing, you know, what sort of heat pumps needed, optimizing the heat pump once it's in place. And so we've bought that business with a view to sort of supporting them in scaling it up. You know, they're going to focus on the operational side of it and hiring the teams and doing a sort of high quality job, and we will focus on the marketing and other sides of that in terms of an integration. Mm-hmm. And you know, we think our customers in particular are very interested in the future of domestic heating, really. And so it gives us an opportunity to play in that market. And also, once people have installed heat pumps, and you know, it's likely therefore that they will follow that with solar and storage solutions as well, the role of an energy supplier itself begins to change, which is the end goal we're shooting for here, which is that, I mean, people probably rightly see energy suppliers as a very difficult business. It will change when, you know, your supplier has the data from your smart meter on, you know, when you're using power, when you should be charging something, and when you should be taking it back out of the grid. Mm-hmm. And if we can get to that sort of place where you can offer different tariffs for different times of day, where you can offer people incentives to switch off or reduce their consumption at certain times and then to move it to other places, then the whole business of energy supply becomes A, much more valuable to the consumer, because you're automating stuff that you don't really want to be sitting there playing with your phone doing it for yourself, mm-hmm. But also a much sort of stickier business in terms of customers, because you're integral to how someone is using their power. So the end goal, if you like, is to revolutionize the nature of being an energy supplier in this market. But the way you get there is by helping people install and adopt these new green technologies.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, let's talk about the cash you have. Like I said, 24.5 million, but some of that is restricted, so around about 19 million. What do you intend to do with that?
Yeah, well, we need some of that, frankly, as a cushion to operate our supply business. So it obviously gets quite jargony quite quickly. People start talking about the working capital issue. What that really means is that, you know, if I haven't forward bought quite all the energy I need, mm-hmm. I will need to buy it in the short term market, which has been very expensive in the last year or so. And I need to pay the wholesale costs of energy every month at any point. So And then obviously I do get the money back, because if people are using more energy, eventually it will come back through their bills, but it comes back more gradually. Mm-hmm. So there is a working capital financing need, which we think is around £10 million. So we want to always make sure we've got about 10 covered there, so we can kind of navigate the energy market. The rest we'd like to invest behind our energy services view. So we'd like, we've been public to say we are looking to acquire particularly solar panel installation capability, mm-hmm. because it's the fastest growing technology. It's obvious, and it's a good solution both for reducing carbon impact, but also frankly saving money for people, and will become more and more important as people drive electric vehicles or heat their homes electrically. So we are looking to acquire high quality solar installation capability, often in parts of the country that match our own supply footprint. We have a slight bias towards the southwest and south of England. So that's where we're often looking. And we're in active conversations with a couple of companies right now.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Okay, look forward to the news on that. And just if you could, in a broader picture, what's the market opportunity here? We all know, you know, we are all heading towards, you know, cleaner energy and solar heat pumps. But how big is this opportunity for you?
It's potentially, this is a, you know, 5 to 10 billion market opportunity in the next 5 years. So how do I get to that? Well, we start maybe by thinking about the UK's households, and we've done some segmentation work quite recently. There are about 4.5 million households in the UK for whom green considerations are sort of front and center, or at least a major part of any of their purchase decision now. So we're focusing very much on, you know, green early adopters or sort of people with green motivations, at least in part of their consumption. And you know, so it's a big market, 4.5 million households, and you know, these are not inconsequential spends often. So a solar installation will be about 8,000, a heat pump a bit more than that, although the government will chip in £5,000 as a subsidy at the moment. And there are sort of affluent households, or households of affluent enough who are willing to pay this, and also financing is coming into this marketplace. So over time, we'd expect more people to be able to borrow their money or even pay on a subscription basis to install this kit. So we do think that, you know, the rate of solar installation was more than doubled last year. The rate of heat pump installation was up about 30%. So we can expect substantial double-digit growth for the next 4 or 5 years from those energy technology markets. And the electric vehicle market is already growing at about sort of compound annual growth rate of about 40 to 50% at the moment. So all three areas are very fast growth markets.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and post-period you launched a new smart export tariff for households. Can you explain how that works, please?
Yes, so this is aimed at people who've got solar panels on their roof, but maybe aren't members of the feed-in tariff scheme. So if you, forgive me for not following these things unless you're part of it. The UK, the Cameron government was very keen on sort of incentivising solar installation, and a very advantageous rate was agreed for households initially, but then eventually it was thought to be a bit too much of a subsidy and was closed. So the feed-in tariff scheme closed, and suppliers were required to give a rate for energy for people with solar who aren't part of that scheme, but they often gave pretty cheap rates, frankly. They were kind of compelled to do it rather than anything else. We have entered that market, so the post-feed-in tariff market for people with new solar. We have launched a rate which pays 10 pence a kilowatt hour at the moment, whereas the market norm is usually about 4 or 5p. And we'll pay that higher rate provided a customer is also on supply with us and on supply with a smart meter, which means we can measure it. So we're looking to, again, recruit people who want to sort of take our supply product, but we're also looking to buy in power from a different source, which is the roots of our company, if you like, and potentially eventually even sort of trade that power as a wholesale block. But basically, it's a much better rate than is generally available for people who've installed solar in the last few years.
Yeah, sounds good. Marvellous stuff. Well, thanks, Nigel. If you could now, if someone's listening right now, likes the sound of what you're talking about, the progress you're making, but not yet following the story, if you could, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add good energy to their watch list, please.
I would follow us for three reasons. The first actually is just value. So, you know, our cash, our stake in Zapmap is worth pretty much what our market capitalization is. We do think the company is undervalued and has a lot of potential for growth in the share price. The second is the growth markets we're focused on: electric vehicles, solar panels, heat pump installation, green technology in the home and business. These are all markets with the potential to grow at double-digit compound rates for the next 3 or 4 years. And thirdly and last of all, our underlying mission is one that is going to be front and central for the UK, which is the whole energy transition away from fossil fuels, away from using fossil fuels in our heating and our cars, to a clean energy future. And Good Energy is fantastically positioned to meet the needs of early adopters in that market and really show how the nature of being an energy supplier will transform in the next few years.
Excellent stuff. Nigel, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
It's a pleasure.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.